Hello, this is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. I'm recording this podcast in my bedroom, and I'll be talking about the very serious subject of investing. So you know right off the bat, this is the sort of thing that just isn't done. But I'm going to do it anyway, and we'll see where it takes us. The title of this podcast, the first that I recorded, is Buy and Hold Cannot Work. Here's why. That's an extremely bold title. Please note that I am not saying buy and hold may not work. And I am not saying there are some smart people out there somewhere who say that buy and hold will not work. I'm stating it more boldly. I am saying buy and hold cannot work. It is a logical impossibility. That is a very bold claim, but I think I can back it up. And I ask that you give me a listen, give it a try. The podcast will take about 30 minutes of your time. And you will need to think about the ideas that I put forward here before they will click in your brain. They are very simple ideas. There's nothing in any way, shape, or form complicated about what I will be saying here today. But they will be ideas that go very much against the grain of conventional thinking on investing. They go very much against the grain of all that you have heard about what works for 20 or 30 years now. Unless you read a small group of writers that are hip to these ideas. But that's perhaps 10% of what you will see in newspapers and magazines and websites and all the rest. If this 10% that has ideas that are totally contrary to the conventional investing wisdom of today are right, we're all in a big heap of trouble because millions of middle-class investors are investing today according to a philosophy of investing called passive investing. And it is passive investing that has given us the buy and hold concept as it is formulated today. If all of those people putting forward that idea are wrong, then all of the investing advice you have heard in recent times is wrong. And you may be in a position today where you are about to lose a whole big bunch of your retirement money. I think that's precisely what's happening. My belief is that we are today, this podcast was recorded in July 2008, I believe that we are today living through the greatest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. So I hope you'll give this a listen, and if you find some merit in the ideas, please explore further. Please go to the website, PassionSaving.com. I have a number of calculators at the website that will help you understand these ideas. I also have a good number of articles on investing issues. I also recommend that you, if you have an interest in getting deeper into a deeper understanding of the issues, to also go to the website of a fellow who works with me in developing the calculators and also in developing a lot of the ideas put forward in the articles, the website of John Walter Russell. And his website is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. And then, of course, you need to explore lots of other places. You need to explore the writings of people who disagree with what I'm saying. And then you need to compare the two and decide for yourself what makes sense. So let's get into it. Before I explain to you why buy and hold cannot work, I first need to explain why buy and hold is an absolutely wonderful idea. The buy and hold concept is pure gold. There's no one on this planet who is a stronger advocate of the concept of buy and hold than Rob Bennett. The problem that I'm addressing in this podcast is that the current approach to buy and hold was developed by people who believe in something called passive investing. It's a theoretical idea, and it's a theoretical idea that is flawed right to the core. And when they developed the buy and hold concept, they included errors right to the core of what they came up with. And it is those errors that are causing the confusion and the fear and the early stages of panic that we are seeing today among stock investors. If you've been listening to people who advocate passive investing, you don't understand how stock investing works. You cannot understand how stock investing works if you've bought into these ideas. They cripple you. They make it impossible to think rationally about the investing process. So I will be putting together a number of podcasts on this general theme. I write often about investing issues. Obviously, I think it's a very important issue if we are indeed living through the greatest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. This is only the first of that series of podcasts, but the point here is to put forward the most basic idea, the most basic problem, and buy and hold, that's the approach that is pushed today in newspapers and websites and in speeches. And if that doesn't work, none of the rest of it can work. We've got to go back to the foundation, and we've got to correct the errors that we have made and then move forward. And the good news is, in the event that any of what I am saying depresses you, I want you to know that there is a very positive side to the story I'm telling. The positive side is, in the retire early and indexing discussion board communities, we have been working on these ideas for over 6 years now. We began back in May of 2002, and those discussions are collectively referred to as the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate, and we've developed some wonderful tools to help people learn how investing really works in the real world. And those tools are available at the website, at John's site as well. And we will be developing more tools as time goes on. So let's get to it. Why is buy and hold such a wonderful concept? There are three realities you need to keep in mind. One, middle-class investors must invest in stocks. We really have no choice. Our employers are no longer taking the responsibility for financing our retirements. The government can no longer be counted on to finance our retirements. We need to finance our retirements ourselves. And it is generally not possible to earn the sort of returns we can earn by investing in stocks, by investing in less volatile asset classes. We have historical stock return data going back to 1870. That's 138 years of data. Over that time, the average annual return generated by stocks in the United States is 6.5% real. That means if you add inflation in, if you add in 3% inflation, that would be an annual return of 9.5%. You're not going to get that return in any of the super safe asset classes. You won't get it with Treasury inflation protected securities. You won't get it from I-bonds. You won't get it from certificates of deposit. You won't get it from money market funds. The middle class investor, the middle class worker, must be invested in stocks. That's a basic reality of all that follows. Two, investing in stocks is scary. There's no getting around it. When you put money in stocks, you have very little idea how much money you're going to have a year or two from now. There are years when stock prices go up by 20% or 30%. And there are years when stock prices go down by 20% or 30%. Stock investing is risky. Stock investing is dangerous. Stock investing is scary. Now, the good news is there's a lot of information we have available to us today that was not available to investors 3 decades ago. And using that data and interpreting it in reasonable ways, in rational ways, we can do a great deal to make ourselves feel more comfortable investing in stocks. A deeper reality is that stock investing is not nearly as risky as it at first seems to be. But it's tricky. If you don't use a rational approach to examining how stocks work, you can trick yourself into believing things about stocks that are not so, and that can make stocks even more risky than they would ordinarily be. The third core reality is that investing matters. Investing is a big deal. If you achieve good results with your investments, you will be able to retire at age 65, or perhaps even earlier. Better yet, if you achieve good results, you will be able to help your son or your daughter finance a college education, or you will be able to move into your dream home. Investing matters. So we all care about how our investments do. We all have to invest in stocks, so most of us are invested in stocks today. And yet we are all scared, and we all don't. A second reason why we are scared about stocks is that most of us do not have a very deep understanding of how stock investing works. Most of us have a lot of other things going on in our lives. We have jobs to do. We have chores to do on the weekend. We have families to raise. We like to take in a movie now and again. So we don't spend a lot of time studying what the Federal Reserve is up to and where the economy is headed and what the oil crisis means for stock prices in the future and all of this other nonsense. A lot of the topics I'm referring to here aren't really nonsense. They matter. They matter to you as a citizen, but they're not the sorts of things. You're not a professional. You're not a professional economist. And these are not things you want to study in great depth so that you know where to invest your money. You combine these realities and you get a very dangerous situation. You get a situation where lots of people have invested lots of money in stocks, and it's a scary investment class by nature, and these people do not have a deep understanding of how this investment class works. That's a recipe for disaster. Now, there's a man named John Bogle who came along in the late 1970s and founded the Vanguard Fund Group. And John Bogle is the primary person for pushing these concepts of passive investing and buy and hold investing. And what John Bogle did was to revolutionize middle class investing in two ways. He revolutionized things in a very positive way by introducing this buy and hold concept, and I'll explain why in a second. But then he also revolutionized things in a very, very negative way by promoting the passive investing concept, the concept that's causing us all this trouble today. The passive investing concept, it is John Bogle's endorsement of the passive investing concept, and his combining that concept with the buy and hold concept that is the reason why buy and hold cannot work. Buy and hold is good because what Bogle saw is that when middle-class investors invest in something they don't really understand, it scares them. And he was trying to deal with that problem. He was trying to make investing a more rational process. So what did he tell us? He told us, ignore all these things you hear written about and discussed in the newspapers and in the speeches and on the radio. Don't pay attention to what the Federal Reserve is doing, no matter how many media articles you see on it. Don't pay attention to these guesses about where the economy is headed. Don't worry about gas prices, at least don't worry about them as to how they affect your investing results. You can worry about them about what it cost you to drive your car. But tune that stuff out when developing your investing strategies. Bogle is right on. This is genius stuff. It's very simple. Bogle's advice is simple, common sense advice. But it's not advice that was widely in practice before he came along. And he deserves all the credit in the world for having introduced us to this concept and promoted this concept for so long now. There's a saying they have at the Vanguard Diehards Discussion Board, a board that examines Bogle's ideas. And the saying is, when people bring up new developments about the economy or the Federal Reserve or any of this other sort of thing, I don't know and I don't care. I don't know and I don't care. I think that's wonderful. That's exactly the right attitude to take. Because these things will drive you crazy. And these things, paying attention to these things, will cause you to do exactly the wrong thing with your investment. If you pay attention to the news developments, you're going to get excited about stocks when prices are headed upward. And of course, it is when prices are high that stocks offer a poor long-term value proposition. And if you pay attention to these news developments, you're going to want to pull back on your stock investing when prices are low, which is when stocks offer a fantastic, amazing long-term value proposition. So you want to tune out all of this junk. How Bogle tells you to determine your investing strategy is, one, determine the proper risk profile for you. That's how you choose your stock allocation. Everyone has a different risk tolerance, and everyone is facing different financial circumstances. So there is no one stock allocation that John Bogle or I can tell you to follow. You're going to have to determine that on your own based on your personal circumstances. But once you determine that, the proper stock allocation for you, and you determine it by looking at how much risk you should take on. Once you determine that, you stick with your plan. You don't let all of this noise, all of these news developments, all of this junk you're going to be hit with on a daily basis. You don't let that sort of thing cause you to abandon your plan. You stick with your plan for the long run. All of that is right on. All of that is genius. All of that is emotionally healthy. All of that is brilliant. But Bogle made a huge, terrible mistake. And the mistake is in his understanding of how it is we are to stay the course. Stay the course is really just another phrase meaning the same thing as buy and hold. It's a phrase that Bogle uses all the time in his speeches. And Bogle has said it is the single most important investing advice he has ever offered. Stay the course. That means stick with your plan. Don't let all this noise cause you to abandon it. The terrible mistake is that Bogle advises you to stay the course by sticking with the same stock allocation. And that is madness. That is just wrong. It's foolish. It's emotionally damaging. I mentioned earlier that we have data going back to 1870. So we can determine what sort of risk level applies with stocks at different valuation levels. And the risk level that applies at times of low or moderate prices is nothing comparable to the risk level that applies at times when prices are where they are today, sky high. These are dangerous times to own stocks. And you don't want to be going with the stock allocation that made sense back at a time when the long-term value proposition for stocks was very appealing. That's crazy. And that's the point that I want to get across to you, to make you pause and question, is what I'm doing the right thing? A lot of people are getting nervous about stocks today, and they're thinking, should I pull back? And a lot of the experts are saying, oh, no, don't pull back. Stay the course. Stick with your plan. Buy and hold. But they're not factoring in the fact that when people developed their plans, we were not at the prices that apply today. So that advice is bogus. That advice is nonsense. That advice is dangerous. There's a calculator at my website, the Stock Return Predictor, that will tell you the likely 10-year return on stocks at different valuation levels for stocks purchased at different price levels. At the price levels that applied in the early 1980s, when prices were low, the most likely 10-year return on stocks was 17% real per year. Add in 3% percentage points of inflation, and you've got an annual return on stocks of 20% for 10 years. That's how people get rich investing in stocks. Go to a time when prices were at normal levels, fair value levels, and the 10-year likely return is in the neighborhood of 6.5%, the return that is generally applied. Go to a time like early 2000, when the bubble was at its height, and the likely 10-year return is a negative 1% per year. People who bought stocks in January of 2000 were buying an asset class that was likely going to deplete their savings by a little bit each year over the course of 10 years. And of course, that's just what we've seen. Now, we of course don't know that it's not necessarily going to go down 1% per year. We could have a 50% price drop and then a price increase following that, so that the average over 10 years comes to a negative 1%. But the point is, when you buy stocks at those sorts of price levels, you're buying a very dubious asset class. Treasury inflation protected securities at the height of the bubble were paying a return of 4% real. That was with a government guarantee attached to it. So you could buy a super safe asset class and obtain an annual return 5 full percentage points better than what you could get from investing in stocks. And many of the big name experts were telling people to stick with their high stock allocations. Again, this is madness. This needs to change. You don't need to look at historical data to understand that what I'm telling you is so. All you need is common sense. You've bought things other than stocks. You've bought cars and houses and comic books and bananas. Does price matter when you buy a comic book or a banana? Or a house or a car? Of course it matters. Does price matter when you buy stocks? You bet it matters. Anyone who tells you it doesn't matter is not your friend. not for that purpose. They may be your friend in other ways. But that advice is poor advice. That advice is dangerous advice. And what has happened is, it's of course emotionally very appealing advice. When prices are going up, all humans have within us a get-rich-quick desire. We all have that. That's why we fall for get-rich-quick scams. And when people tell you that prices don't matter with stocks, they are appealing to the get-rich-quick impulse within you, the weakest side of human nature, the darkest side of human nature. That needs to stop. And the way that it can stop is by getting people to look at the historical data. Look at what has always happened in the past when people have followed these sorts of approaches. I'll tell you a number that sums it all up. There have been three times in the history of the U.S. market when we have gone to price levels in the general neighborhood of the price level that applies today, July 2008. The average price drop on those three occasions was 68%. You don't want to be going with a large stock allocation when there's a 68% price drop. That makes no sense. If the right stock allocation for you at a time of moderate prices was 60%, then at a time of high prices, you probably should be going with a stock allocation of something in the neighborhood of 30%. And at a time of low prices, you should probably be going with a stock allocation of something in the neighborhood of 90%. Does 90% sound high? Sure it does. But if 90% sounds high at a time of low prices, then 60% should sound high at a time of moderate prices. Because the risk level of a 90% allocation at a time of low prices is no greater than the risk level of a 60% allocation at a time of moderate prices, or a 30% allocation at a time of high prices. A 30% allocation to stocks is plenty of risk at a time when prices are where they are today for the average person. I'm going to bring this to an end. The last thing I want to mention is an analogy that Bogle often uses to promote the stay the course, buy and hold philosophy. He talks about a captain of a ship steering that ship and how the captain needs to keep the ship on course. And that appeals to middle class people because It sounds so prudent, and it sounds so sensible. It sounds so right. The reality is, if you are in charge of a ship and you know where you want to go, you have a path laid out, and the winds pick up, and the winds pick up some more, and they're blowing the boat off course, the right thing to do isn't to grit your teeth and say, I'm going to hold on to this steering wheel and not move one inch. That's passive investing. That's buy and hold as currently structured. Sticking with the same stock allocation when circumstances around you have changed dramatically. The rational investor does not stick with the same stock allocation when circumstances change dramatically, when the risk level of stocks increases dramatically. He makes the adjustments he needs to make to keep the same risk profile, which is what you should be trying to do with your buy and hold strategy. Buy and hold is wonderful. Buy and hold, as it is practiced today, cannot work because what people are trying to do is to stick to a strategy while letting that strategy change dramatically every time prices change dramatically. That's an inherent contradiction. And of course, what happens is when people see it's not working, and contradictions cannot work in the real world, when people see it's not working, they get nervous, they get anxious. Ultimately, they panic. We are today probably about halfway there, halfway to the panic stage. It's been 9 years now that stocks have been performing poorly. Stocks have been performing worse than the super safe asset classes for 9 years. We've got a long ways to go before prices come down to moderate levels. So you need to be thinking about this question. Investing matters. You need to be exploring it. It's a simple proposition that I put before you. Do valuation levels affect long-term returns or not? Do valuation levels affect long-term returns or not? If they do, and if you believe that the buy and hold concept makes sense, you need to be adjusting your stock allocation when prices get to the sorts of levels that apply today. I'd be grateful for any feedback you would send my way. Go to the website, passionsaving.com. There's a button on the left-hand side marked Contact Rob. If you click that, you can send me an email. I'd like to hear from you. I hope you'll look for future podcasts where I'll be exploring the ideas that we've developed in the Retire Early and indexing communities over the past 6 years. And I'll be exploring those in much more depth in future podcasts. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.